The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Can sharks rub their fins together deviously? 66% of the audience said yes.
So who's the 34% that are reading that saying, idiots, sharks don't have that mental capacity? They are so minute that they are masked by much greater fluctuations of the lake level produced by wind and air pressure and are unnoticeable.
I don't get, so it's just the size of the body of water of the ocean then that's making it noticeable?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't get anything out of that sentence I just read, so.
Well, thanks for that. Somebody got educated, because I didn't.
Now my cat is fighting.
Yeah, you live a charmed life, man. That is.
You're like a Renaissance man.
Jesus Christ, it's like National Geographic over here. My cats are just beating the out of each other.
That was our buddy Brian.
Yeah, our new friend Brian.
Pop culture leftovers.
The tightly wound.
Boy, was he.
New friend Brian. What an unexpected treat it was. It was a delight. Obviously unexpected with the language.
You know who was a big fan of Brian? My wife.
Really?
She apparently is back on board and is caught up on listening.
So that's the type of podcast she wants, huh?
So,
just loosey-goosey curse words?
So I said, we finally got you to listen, and your favorite part was someone else talking. Okay. Cool.
Seems to fit the bill.
We were on a family walk yesterday, walking through the park, took Evelyn there and put her on the swings, swinging back and forth. And this is one of those parks that it seems like a lot of the parks around here have ultimate frisbee courses.
Frisbee golf.
Frisbee golf, yeah. Frisbee golf courses.
Sorry. Disc golf courses.
Disc golf. Yeah, you're frolfing.
Yeah, I that's one of my favorite things is to tell people who are frisbee golfing that they're frolfing.
Frolfing.
Because it offends them to their core. And just to kick off the week in a proper fashion, you'll be able to find that on the poll at Steve and Kyle on Facebook and Twitter.
Good. So, yeah, we were walking through, and there were some people playing disc golf. And Annette was pushing the stroller, so she's all, you know, like we're constantly talking to Evelyn, like, oh, look at the red car, look at the green grass. And she's in that phase now where she holds on to like the little the little tray in front of her and pulls herself up, and she is just heads on a swivel the whole time looking at everything. So I noticed that Annette said, oh, Evelyn, look at the frisbowers. And I said, frisbowers? You've been listening to the Steve and Kyle podcast.
Wow.
Because that is not a that is not a known term.
No.
Until a couple of weeks ago when we coined it.
Frisbo is a Steve and Kyle exclusive.
It is,
and
yeah.
I don't know if verbal trademark technically works, but we definitely
it does.
Well, we should have done that 2 weeks ago.
Verbal trademark.
Do we have to go back and re-record 2 weeks ago?
Yeah,
and we'll all just, the ha-has we had then, and then yell verbal trademark right after we do that bit?
We'll just drop it in. Like, if you're talking, I'll say verbal trademark, and we'll just paste it in there, and then vice versa.
It'll sound natural.
Yeah.
The levels will be the same, because 2 weeks ago we were out in the sunroom.
We may have to haul this stuff back upstairs.
Well, no, what I need you to do is go capture a bird outside.
Okay.
Bring it in the basement and just stick it in the corner, and then really kind of poke it.
Sure.
So it starts squawking, and then we say, it's a lot of work.
It is.
But this is a,
quite a bit.
This is a $1 million idea.
And this is also, we can sue my wife because she said frisbowers.
Well, you know, listen, the steamroller of justice doesn't stop because she's related to you, Steve, or because she's married to you.
That's very
not
true.
Not related to you. Very important to clarify.
Yeah, yeah, very, very clear.
Not related to you. Like, Steve, we didn't have
well,
a moment.
Wait a minute, but are we... Now that we're married...
I guess you are related.
We're related now,
so
right?
Are you post-marriage incestual then? Is that...
Well, if we are, then everyone is.
Right, right. So you just jumped on board with the trend. So the only people who aren't are those who refuse to take their last name? No, because it's not name related.
Well, Adam and Eve.
Well, I mean, it all started there, right? I mean, as everybody knows, that's when humanity started, is when...
Right.
I'm not going to get into it. Finger touched a pole on the earth.
Yep. Yeah, and an apple grew.
And then there was apples and a snake.
And somebody wrote a dinosaur.
A snake was actually a... I got to tell you, our knowledge... of the Bible is right up there with our knowledge
look, I mean, it's not necessarily,
British hierarchy.
It's not necessarily Bible knowledge. It's just world knowledge. It's general knowledge that everybody knows. Everyone.
That there was a something about an apple, a snake, a lightning rod, and then riding a dinosaur.
Yeah. Yeah, how do you think they got to the Garden of Eden? They rode the Triceratops.
It's hard to argue the facts.
Yeah, prove me wrong.
The Triceratops, that would be a, would that be a three-seater? You'd sit in front of the first spike, you'd sit in front of the second spike, and then in front of the third spike?
Yeah.
In front of that.
So it's like a camel, but with an extra couple humps.
Much less comfortable, too. You would assume that those, I'm not going to, not stone, but like those hard, bony.
Yeah, I don't know. Are they bones or are they like calluses?
They are, I mean, listen, I'm going off of the documentary you may have seen in 1994 called Jurassic Park.
Of course, yeah.
I'm assuming they're bony. Do we have an archaeologist on the line?
I think we'll have to put it on the poll.
Okay, because if we add this to the list of who we need to talk to, we still need a placist.
Placist.
And yeah. There was some other really important profession we needed to talk to.
A placist.
So are the, what do we call them? Not even triangles.
Spikes.
The spikes, yeah.
Yeah.
On the triceratops. Boy, this is a...
already got two. Already, 7 minutes in. We already got two in the bag today.
That's the new goal. But if you get the third spike seat, that's the equivalent of being back of the airplane, right?
Well, because you have...
Well, one, you're by the bathroom.
Because you have person, spike, person, spike, person, spike,
but
right?
That, yes.
So the spikes are your backrest.
Yeah, but that last spike, you're near tail, so you're getting all of the swaying action.
Sure, plus it's probably on the downslope
of the
back.
So you're already, it's like you're constantly on the uphill climb of a roller coaster.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if I'm thinking about it, what would be the best dinosaur to ride? Because people might say, oh, the Brontosaurus or whatever. What do you do? You can't grab around that neck.
Yeah, that was my favorite dinosaur growing up, by the way, Brontosaurus. I loved
the old leaf eaters.
Yeah.
But like...
Loved them. That first scene...
Oh, it's so majestic,
in Jurassic
right?
Park, when you see the Brontosaurus or whatever they call it, I don't know, like Brachiosaurus.
I think it's the Brachiosaurus, yeah.
But look, I'm from a Brontosaurus age,
sure.
All right? I'm from the time when Pluto was a planet
and
Brachiosaurus was called Brontosaurus.
Yeah.
That first scene when they get out of the Jeep or whatever, and they look up and that camera pans up and you see that thing and it's 1 million feet tall. That's the world I want to live in.
I stand by it that I think those were better than the new, just based on, I always enjoy a practical effect in movies.
Mm-hmm.
So being able to, the fact that they actually made those in animatronic fashion. So the actors are physically reacting to the dinosaur.
Yeah.
Instead of what you see nowadays, which is they're reacting to a yellow tennis ball on a rope.
On a string.
And it's ridiculous. So,
by the way, you forgot to put on the poll, are you related to your spouse?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Or do we make it a little more tantalizing and say, is being related to your spouse incest?
Well, no, because that, in that case, yes, because then it's showing that you're, or how about after marriage, are you, are you related to your spouse?
That is up on the poll as well.
What the hell's going on? What?
It's a lot going on today.
Do we need a, but we digress?
We didn't have a chance last week, Steve, to properly welcome us back to APS 3.0.
Welcome back.
So I've got us a few York peppermint patties
cheers across the room.
Yep, cheers for the York. Oh, these are still good, right?
Yeah, these things don't go bad. They're, it's like space food.
That's what I'd read. Yes, yeah, that the York peppermint patty is ageless.
Let's see, expires August 2019.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's like the, you know, the 5 second rule for, you know, open food on the ground. It's the 1 year rule. So we just have to finish.
300?
Those 300 Yorks in the next 5 days.
Yeah. And if we finish them in the next 5 days, we will only finish them 1 year past their expiration.
Oh, boy, this is good.
Oh, boy.
It's been a while. Whoosh. Oh.
Whoosh. That's right. I'm skiing. I'm skiing down a mountain because it's so cold and crisp.
Now, are you a goggle skier, Steve?
Oh, yeah, of course.
So you got those sun rays being...
Oh!
Steve! Look out for that tree!
Leave me alone, Cher! I'll never hit a tree. Right, because, I mean, the only person that we know of that's ever hit a tree while skiing is Sonny Bono.
Right.
Husband of Cher.
Right, and I mean, I'm sure there's been some that are... America's lesser, funniest home videos versions.
Lesser known ski tree hitters.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there a list of famous people who have hit a tree while skiing? Most famous people with ski tree accidents. I want to say, didn't Liam Neeson's wife, yes. Apologies. Liam Neeson's wife passed away with a...
She bonoed?
Yeah, I mean, that's, yeah, that's the way, I don't know why I'm offended. I didn't know Sonny Bono or Liam Neeson's wife. Yeah, Natasha Richardson.
And see, that doesn't flow as well as Bono'd, though.
Hey, so
I'm assuming he did it first. He's the granddaddy of them all.
Oh, right. Listen, he's the grandfather of the ski tree incident. Okay.
Yeah, okay, on the poll this week, is Sonny Bono the grandfather?
Or should it be God? It should be godfather, okay. Right?
Yeah, the godfather of the ski tree incident.
I did not know this. Now, granted, there's under no reason should I be a Sonny Bono or a Sonny and Cher aficionado. Mm-hmm. But when they pull up the very brief description, famous skiing deaths include actress and wife of Liam Neeson, Natasha Richardson, and singer, actor... And U.S. Congressman?
He was,
Sonny Bono?
Yeah, he was... well, I know that he was the mayor of Palm Springs in California for a number of years. And then he... yeah, he ran for Congress.
Really?
I'm assuming California. But I guess
so
I
don't. So is this post-divorce and post their TV show and all that stuff? Because they had a very...
Pre-ski incident, obviously.
That seems like an easy clarification.
Yeah, I mean,
to make.
I just want to make sure everyone's aware of the timeline.
I appreciate you. That is a legitimate, Steve, and a legitimate important correction.
I don't want people being confused about the Bono snow ski timeline.
There is no conspiracy, I don't think, or there's no idea. There's no Kenny Rogers theory floating around there about Sonny Bono.
Oh, Kenny Rogers.
It's definitely a week.
Of course it is.
There's no... You don't think somewhere off in a hidden resort, Kenny and Sonny are sharing a duet somewhere right now? Still kicking?
I don't know. Were they friends? Nothing would surprise me about the Raj at this point.
No, I mean, listen, new facts every week, and they're all more amazing than the previous one outside of the second time we learned about his goat.
Definitely never repeated.
Because that would be embarrassing after like 6 weeks, you know?
I didn't even make it a year. Didn't even make it close.
Yeah, it does not specify an explicit friendship between Sonny Bono and Kenny Rogers.
I bet that they jammed, though.
Let me ask you this, Steve. This was before both of our times. Was Cher like a sex symbol back
absolutely.
In that era?
Absolutely.
So we're talking 70s, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Because I look at photos of them together, and for me, it flips back and forth. Like, there's one where, by the way, compared to what she aged into, and obviously I'm sure there was some surgery and some other stuff included, she doesn't even look remotely similar to what she did in that era.
Yeah, I feel like she's one of those people that constantly reinvents herself, never really looks the same.
My goodness.
From my money, the highlight of her career is when she re-recorded I Got You, Babe for the Beavis and Butthead Do America soundtrack.
Oh,
back
wow.
In the mid-90s.
Because a lot of people would assume peak Cher was not the Sonny Bono era, was not the TV show era, but was when she was writhing around on a naval ship in a one-piece in her, that had to be 50s, 40s at that point?
Probably.
That was if I could turn back time, correct?
Oh, yeah. I bet she was in her 50s then. How old did you say she was now?
I did not say.
Oh, I thought you said.
No, I did not.
She's got to be in her 70s, right?
If I could turn back time, that came out in 1989.
And Cher is 74 right now.
So 31 years ago.
Yeah.
So she was 43.
Okay. Well, that's not nearly as old as I thought.
But would you
say... I'm almost 43.
Maybe, you know... And
who
again,
do you think would look better in a one-piece singing I Could Turn Back Time?
I'd pay to see you, Steve. I've already seen Cher, so I know. At this point, I'd pay to see... Let me see. Let me pull up this picture from the music video. You know, I wouldn't say it's a particularly good-looking 43. No, but then she really went down the surgery route, I think. And has really, turned back time. For real lack of a better term. She still performs it, 2019. There's a still of her on YouTube performing that song, 2019 in Amsterdam. She still throws on this slinky little one-piece style
thing. Can you go see a Cher concert, or is it...
Well, Cher did.
Now to perform her hit, it's Cher, and it's like at a New Year's Eve celebration, she comes out, sings one song, and that's it.
No, if I remember right, Cher...
Like, Cher's not doing world tours, right?
Cher, I think, held a record for longest residency in Vegas, I thought.
Oh, she's... Yeah, I knew she was doing that. I didn't know she still was.
She's still there at the MGM Resorts. I don't know exactly which one. Because MGM owns a whole lot of them over there. But yeah, Cher shows in Vegas. She still does those.
Wow.
Is that better than the world tour? Do you want the residency in Las Vegas?
Oh, God, yeah.
Well, obviously...
Like, if it's me, if I'm the performer, hell yeah.
See, no,
look, I want to be able to do my song, do my hour and 20-minute show every night.
Mm-hmm.
Walk backstage, get in the elevator... Hit the P for penthouse, and within 5 minutes of walking off stage, I'm back in my penthouse apartment, you know, having a drink, going to bed.
So, you know, obviously, Steve, this is makeup professional and everything. Look at her. Like, that
looks fantastic.
See, that looks fantastic,
looks
right?
Good for her. Good for you, Cher.
Well, glad she's doing well. You know, we're all worried about her after the, you know, the Bono incident. I don't know if she'd pull through. You think she still... Nope, I'm not going to make that joke.
No, go ahead.
Okay. You think she still goes back to the tree and, you know, kind of touches the imprint where his head hit as like a memory?
Boy, that's just out of line. Can't believe you'd say such a thing. Are you an animal?
Because, you know, a lot of... You can go to the grave site of whoever, of your loved ones, if you feel that way about speaking to your deceased loved ones, right? You'll see people go to the grave sites and, you know, talk, have conversations. I think that's I think that's beautiful. But do you ever think that Cher has a picnic on the ski hill at the tree?
Do you think...
Or do you think they took down the tree, Steve? Is the tree that murdered American icon Sonny Bono still there, or is it in prison?
Okay, do you know how sometimes you'll be driving on the highway and you see like a roadside memorial? Do you think there's a treeside memorial on the ski hill?
Listen, that'd be a skiing hazard. You'd have to warn the skiers, you know, is this a black diamond or is this a bunny hill we're talking about? Boy, imagine if you're Sonny Bono and you kick the bucket on a bunny hill.
Yeah.
Like a 15 degree grade that like people can walk past you and you turn around and say, "Shut up, Cher. Of course I'm not going to hit that tree." Oh, there it is. Google Groups. Is this tree that Sonny Bono hit?
I'm looking at it right now.
It's still there. So is there a makeshift memorial?
Inconclusive.
Let's see. I heard they cut it down because of too many people standing around taking pictures and videos, creating an unsafe obstruction. I believe it's gone. Yeah, it sounds like it is. They cut it down for exactly that reason. Hmm. Because people were going there to find it. So somewhere in America.
There it is. There it is. R.I.P. Bono.
You miss it. It's not just one. I mean, that's a
cluster. It's not like it's in the middle of the...
Would you hydroplane?
All right.
Four left! Four left! The trees can't move, Sonny! Shield your head! Well, rest in peace, Sonny Bono.
It is Saturday, July 25th, 2020, the year of our Lord. It's the Steve and Kyle podcast.
There's only one way you and I eulogize people, and it is beautiful. We give majestic eulogies to important people who have lost their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And to support that method, to support that idea, you can go vote on the poll. Is Sonny Bono the godfather of the ski tree incident? It's on Facebook and Twitter. At Steve and Kyle. Boy, what a nice trip down memory lane. 1998 that
January
happened
of 98. What were you doing in January of 98?
Well, I was 11, Steve, so I was...
I was a junior. I was halfway through my junior year in high school.
Okay.
Let's see. What was big in my life back then? January of 98. Okay, so about a month earlier... I'd been dumped by my girlfriend.
Oh, wow. Christmas and, time. Merry Christmas,
oh, yeah,
Steve.
Yeah, it was like a week before Christmas. She dumped me.
January 5th was a Monday, Steve.
I was pretty down in the dumps.
January 5th, Monday, January 5th, 1998. You were going back to school
probably
after
been my,
Christmas
yeah, probably
break.
Probably would have been my first day back at school.
Freshly dumped.
I remember this time very clearly, actually, because I had been dumped by my girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided, like, of course, like I always did when I was a kid, I had big bushy hair and I had like, I had braces and it was a rough time. Like I deserve to be broken up with in hindsight because it just simply based on appearance.
So 14-year-old Steve thought he was ugly enough that he should have been broken up with.
17-year-old Steve. Well, almost 17.
Self-aware enough that he was a filthy, ugly monster.
Yeah. So I remember... I was broken up with right before Christmas, and I decided to use Christmas break that year to reinvent myself. And I remember I shaved my head, which was a much better look for me.
Yeah.
Probably always has been a much better look for me.
I don't know, man. I listen, the Cooper hair, when you busted that thing out in Van Wert, Ohio.
That was something special.
2 years ago now.
2 years.
Was that two? No, that wasn't 2 years. Was that last year? That was last April.
I think it was
last year. No, I might. Well, who cares?
I went home on Christmas break, shaved my head, got my braces taken off, which was like...
They weren't even ready, but you said, hey, Doc, I got to reinvent myself. Get the chisel.
Just went out in the garage, grabbed some pliers, and bink!
That is one I remember, getting the braces off, dude, because
that was big.
You're excited to get them off.
Well, back then, too, you had braces for like 3 years.
Oh, absolutely.
Now it's like if you do have to get braces, if you can't just get one of those pop-in Invisaligns or things that you wear at night, you have them for like 6 months.
Seriously?
But yeah, back then, I remember getting – I got my braces in eighth grade.
Yeah.
And it was halfway through my junior year by the time I got them taken off.
What – but I remember getting them off. And again, you're so excited – but then you really, it's like an hour and a half appointment because they literally have to chisel the glue off your teeth and it hurts.
I don't remember mine being so bad. I remember it, honestly, the way that I just described it. They basically grabbed onto it and they gave it a little twist and it just popped right off. Because I remember thinking, like, if they come off so easily, how have they not fallen off in the last 3 years from me, like, eating a piece of, you know, eating a Jolly Rancher or something?
Man, that first feeling, though, when they cut the main wire that runs through the whole thing and they take that off and you're like, oh, it just, man. Yeah.
And then you run your, like, they pop the braces off. You run your tongue along your front teeth. You're like, whoa.
This is different.
Whole new world.
I don't have to worry about getting food out in between these anymore.
Yeah. So, yeah, I got the haircut, got the braces taken off, and changed up the wardrobe a bit. I remember I went back to school with a couple of new shirts, and I was feeling on top of the world.
Did you bust out the JNCO jeans?
No JNCO. I was never into JNCOs.
I never got them.
Definitely baggy. Definitely baggy jeans.
That's the 90s look, man. Yeah. I mean, and well, early 2000s as well. Yeah. Like, it was, it's been a total 180 in terms of how pants are supposed to fit you in the last 20 years.
Yeah. Yeah, I was, it was a whole new world for me, and I remember the first person to say anything was one of my teachers, Mr. Minitti.
Yeah?
And I had, like...
Of course. Middle of New Jersey.
Yeah.
Minitti. He's probably... You probably walk in and you interrupt him. Whoops! Sorry! Drops a meatball down his shirt.
Surprisingly, you're not far from the truth at all. Now, I had also taken the time to grow a little peach fuzz goatee.
Hey! 'Cause I remember, 17-year-old Steve.
Now, Minitti, his... Again, not surprising. His greeting, his go-to term, like, normally if you walk in and I see you, I'd be like, hey. Well, his was, yo, guy. So I remember walking into his class and he's like, oh, yo, guy, what do you got going on here? You got the haircut up here. You got the new thing down here. You got the nothing on your teeth. They're looking good. And I was like, hey,
wow. He's very descriptive, this guy, this Minitti.
That's exactly how he was.
Hey, missing that, you got that. This is different. Hey, yo. Hey,
boom.
Hey, yo, guy.
Well, he was the teacher for a class called EO, which was, I forget, it stood for, like, in hindsight, I think it was the class for the... You went to if, like, you didn't have a shot in hell at being good at anything else.
Okay.
I think it stood for, like, employment opportunity. So in the cafeteria in the high school, back in, like, off the side of the cafeteria, there was the teacher's, it was like the teacher, not a lounge, but like the teacher's kitchen.
Sure.
So the teachers could go in there and order their lunch. They could get, you know, a sub or sandwiches or whatever.
Oh, listen, this is Jersey. You've got two options, spaghetti with a meatball or a hoagie.
Yeah.
That's it.
Right. So students worked in the kitchen. So I was in the class EO. So, like, for the first week of the semester, you learn how to, like, how to slice meat and you learn how to make a sandwich.
Hang on.
I swear.
Because
no one else has ever heard of this. And every time I bring it up, they give the exact response that you
get. Because, first of all, you have to get, like, nowadays, you have to get, like, certification.
Oh, yeah. You're going to be in a union.
Meat slicer.
Yeah, you need to be in a union.
So let me ask you before we get too deep, well, further deep in, how much did you get paid for this, Steve?
Oh, nothing. Nothing at all.
How is any of okay,
I need to explain more of this to you because
it's not going to make it better.
No, it just gets crazier.
Good, okay.
To me, in hindsight, looking back at this, like, I can't imagine something like this happening
right
now. So the first couple weeks of the semester, we would actually make the menu. We'd say, okay, well, what kind of sandwiches should we offer this year? What kind of salads should we do? What kind of this? What kind of that? And then we would make the actual menu and learn how to make, like, we'd have a class where it's like, okay, now we're going to learn how to make this sub.
The hoagie and the spaghetti and meatballs.
Right. And then after a couple of weeks, the kitchen was open. So we'd be in there. I was in there, like, fifth period or something, which was one of the lunch periods. So, You'd be sitting in there, and it was somebody's job to work the counter, somebody's job to work the slicer. There was a dishwasher. There was somebody who assembled sandwiches. So somebody would come in. There was a girl named Lisa. She would take the order. She'd be like, "Oh, I need an SU4, which was like sub number 4. So you'd look up at the board. You'd be like, "Okay, that's an Italian sub." So you get your ham, and you get your gabagool, and you get your lettuce and tomato.
Because
and you build the whole thing, and then you wrap it up, and you pass it out to them, and they would either sit at, there were a couple booths in there, or they would take it and go to the teacher's lounge.
Yeah.
But it was, so, like, our cafeteria was in the back of the school, and if you looked out the back window, there was the garage where, like, the buses and some of the bus drivers and the bus mechanics, they would do their thing back there. So there was this one very, very, very large woman named Ida, and she was a bus driver, and she'd come in every day, and she'd say, "Give me an Italian sub, heavy on the oil," and like you had to make this sub, and then basically take the, you know, like a little
squeeze bottle that looked like
a ketchup bottle, and basically just hold it over it, and like have a full conversation with Ida as you were just draining the oil onto her sub. Like she wasn't happy unless she bit into it and it was, you know, dribbling down her arm. So that was EO.
What a fascinating look back at what there's no chance that would work today.
No,
it would.
I wonder if they still do it.
Well, because
I know
just throwing a fit.
Minetti retired.
Are you sure he retired? Because when I think of Minetti, and I'm not
he
gonna
might
call
have
him,
he
I'm
might
gonna,
have retired.
Oh, no. from life.
Yeah,
I
could send my brother a text. My brother would know.
I'm actually messaging your brother right now.
Oh, good.
Maybe let me ask him. Is Mr.
Just say, is Yo Guy still alive? He'll know exactly. Or the hombre.
Is Yo Guy still kicking?
He'll know exactly what you mean.
Recording the podcast right now. because when I think of Minetti, I don't think of Minetti as old man Minetti. And tell me if I'm wrong here. I think of Minetti as in, and I don't want you to even correct me. Just nod your head, please.
Mm-hmm.
Minetti's in his mid-40s. He's got a receding hairline, but he still slicks back his long hair all the way. He's got a full beard. No, maybe not a full beard. I'll come back to the facial hair. But I get the impression that Minetti maybe owed a few bucks to some people with some sports betting issues. When I think of Minetti Yo Guy, I think of Minetti owing a few dollars, and maybe he came in with a few bandages on his hand and like a busted up knuckle here and there because he was late on paying back the bookies for the Celtics game last Thursday.
I know it's going to sound like a real stereotype,
yeah,
but he looked pretty much like Chef Boyardee. I mean, receding hairline, you got it. Jet black hair, not a lot of it. Slicked back. Mustache, like short black mustache. Yeah, that was the hombre.
Oh, man. Your brother came back with a joke. He said he's telling his grandkids to get the hot soapy water and wipe down the counter.
Oh, yeah. Yo, guy.
So I asked him again. I said, is he still out there? Almost like the X-Files, you know.
Yo, guy, get a couple buckets of hot soapy and wipe this down.
I'm telling you, Minetti owed money. That's all I'm saying about Minetti.
Well, I know that his... I know that his son was like the mayor. He ended up becoming the mayor much later because I had this crazy chance encounter with his... It would have been Minetti's daughter-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
I was just talking to this woman one day when I was back there for a radio station event. And I was like, she was like, oh, where'd you grow up? I know you're from New Jersey. I was like, I grew up in Cinnaminson. She said, oh, I'm married to a guy named from Cinnaminson, so-and-so Minetti. And I said, Minetti? I had a Mr. Minetti in high school. And she said, yeah, that's my father-in-law.
Hang on. What is your Minetti's name? First name. Or do you just want to type? Maybe you can text it to me.
To be honest,
mind.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Why? What do you got?
Well, I think it may be his kid.
There was some weird, some stuff went on, I think.
His kid's in the news.
Yeah.
If it's, his kid might be Anthony.
Yeah.
And he's the mayor now of Cinnaminson.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, well, he...
I knew that.
There's a headline title from New Jersey, NJ.com.
Mm-hmm.
New Jersey mayor flips out over Facebook post mocking his election loss.
And when was this?
This was 2017.
Okay, yeah.
And somebody used the crying Jordan meme, and he lost his mind. I need to know if...
Is it M-I-N-N-I-T-T-I?
M-I-N-N-I-T-I. One T on the end, Steve. December 9, 2017. After tumultuous year, Mayor bids Cinnamons in a fond farewell. He probably turned around, flipped the bird, and couldn't wait to get out.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. I'm assuming that this Anthony Minniti, the mayor, is Anthony Jr. I feel like it was
this
Anthony.
This story made Deadspin back in the day of when he did this. So, mm-hmm. Oh, wow. I mean, that's impressive. Well, we'll never know. Minniti may be out there, maybe with a limp because he busted a couple kneecaps after he didn't pay his debts.
Maybe yeah.
Ran away with his son in disgrace.
Oh, boy. Man, that brings back a lot of memories. A lot of memories.
Not to transition out of this, Steve, but I wanted to mention quickly, because we're 35 minutes in, that this is your last few days here to vote for us at podcastawards.com. As you heard in the intro and as you heard last week, the very explicit interview we had with Brian from Pop Culture Leftovers, who we have teamed up with to combine our fan bases and combine our votes at podcastawards.com. Click the big button right in the center to nominate. All you have to do is use an email address that you may or may not utilize on a regular basis. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, mm-hmm. nod, nod, all that type of stuff. And nominate the Steve and Kyle podcast in the comedy category. Do us a favor. Go on down to TV and film. Nominate Pop Culture Leftovers.
Yes.
And then when you vote for the big category, the People's Choice, the Steve and Kyle podcast is there for you as well. You have until July 31st to do that. I don't know what the next step is. I'm assuming we'll hear back relatively soon if this weird virtual award ceremony is going to happen in September.
Yeah, do we attend it? Should we attend it?
If
it's on a weekend, I think that it would be very...
We're live streaming it.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. Maybe we stream it. Like, we watch it and live stream it out on
our platform,
Facebook or Twitter.
Absolutely do that if we can get in the top 10 to at least see if we're going
to be nominated. Even if we don't get in the top 10.
Well, then I'm just going to be booing everybody. You know, it's just going to be 90 minutes of me in the back yelling boo at all the top 10.
And them over and over saying, Steve and Kyle podcast, please mute your mic. Please mute your mic.
Again, podcastawards.com. Please go there. Help us out if you could. That would be very, very nice. That's all we want. Yeah. We just want to get the top 10. So we have to go rent tuxedos and shoot a million acceptance videos that we can then play back for you on this
very
podcast.
Now, what character are you going to play? Because I'll obviously play Steve E. Tortellini.
Yep. I will put a litany. So maybe at one point I'll come out in my wrestling costume as Billy Backdraft. And we can do one as that.
Okay.
But then I also think we do different acceptance videos where we just, like, kind of like the Michael Jordan Hall of Fame speech. I don't know if you remember that, Steve. But he took... People look at his Hall of Fame speech and go, oh, that's just Jordan. Because he was just a jerk to everybody. He blamed... it was just, you never thought I'd get here. You didn't believe in me. You did this to me. And Isaiah Thomas, you made me... You hurt my feelings and yada, yada. And everybody's like, oh, this is really not the most gracious.
I mean, maybe just be like, hey, thank you.
Yeah.
Like, you're arguably the greatest basketball player of all time. You can just be a little bit humble for once.
Right. So we're going to do one of those where we just run down all of our opponents in the category and just light them up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
okay?
Definitely.
Tell them how stupid they are.
Yeah, I mean, that Jordan shouldn't do that. But we should.
We should. We're not above that.
No,
we're not the
not
greatest player in basketball history.
No.
But I think the goal, Steve, would be that if we can get in the top 10 and get notified that we're in the top 10, that'll leave us a few weeks before we would find out. That would leave us a few weeks to where we
hire
could...
Hire a director.
Yep.
Hire
a director.
Hire a producer.
Editor. All of this stuff.
Mm.
But then we need to post, or we need to put on polls. We need to let our fans choose. That's what I'm trying to say way too long. Is that we need to have all 6, 8, 10 videos that we shoot, and then our fans mm-hmm. will choose which one we actually submit.
Okay.
We wouldn't tell our fans until after the award ceremony, because I want them to tune in and witness it with us.
Right.
But we would then submit the one that they have voted for, whether it's the we're better than you all suck, whether it's the you and me in our wrestling character outfits
sure.
cutting a promo on everybody,
mm-hmm.
or whether it's you know, you and I playing different characters, whatever. So, again, podcastawards.com, nomination, sign up right in the center of the screen. You literally cannot miss it if you go to the website. Vote for us. Vote for Pop Culture Leftovers. Help us out.
Absolutely. That was a great conversation that we had last week. Was there ever any follow-up between you and Brian from Pop Culture Leftovers about... he seemed very confused at the end about how it was being recorded.
Yeah, so I had texted him right after we got done, and I said, that was awesome. Thanks for coming on. I believe he may have even replied before we were done recording. He said, I had no idea that you were recording. Sorry that I sucked, LOL. And I said, dude, we laughed a lot. And then I said, let's do it again sometime. And at that point, what I'm really implying is, hey, you know, wink, wink.
Have us on, your podcast.
We could make it work.
Hey.
Sounds good, man. Keep in touch. And then I said, that episode comes out Tuesday. And then I said, we're going to tag you on Facebook and Twitter and all that. And really hoping he would, you know, mention it or say something on social media. But didn't see that it happened. Did see he made an announcement that they're not recording this weekend.
They did have a nice, they gave us a nice plug on their last podcast.
It was very
about
nice.
38 minutes in, I think.
Listen, if that's your bag, those guys seem fun. I listened to a little bit of it. It's a lot of what you heard.
Yeah.
Not as mile a minute Brian. More Brian settling in for a 3 to 4 hour podcast level Brian.
Mm-hmm.
To where much, very loose, a lot of flying F-bombs, stream of consciousness, off-the-cuff discussion about movies, pop culture, things like that. A lot of what we do here, more explicit and on a typically a different subject base.
I felt old too, because right when they were about to give a plug to this podcast and podcastawards.com, there was a joke made about the band Mr. Mister, which, I mean, I think they were like a two-hit wonder from the 80s. But I actually got the joke, and I was like, because I think that of like the three or four people, only one of them actually got the joke, and it was only kind of got it.
Yeah, it was a Mr. Mister joke, but it was also
doctor,
a reference
doctor.
To a doctor, because they had a conversation, to let you know how it goes, they had a conversation earlier in that episode relating to Mr. Sinister from the X-Men, who is a very notorious villain in the X-Men series comic books, and was teased in one of the movies, and they asked, is he a Mr. or is he a doctor? And so they brought it back. That's what we call bringing it back around, Steve.
Yeah, full circle.
That's tying the knot nice and tight, which we do here all the time on the Steve and Kyle podcast. We definitely don't leave any.
No loose ends.
Nope. Never, ever, ever happens.
How many loose ends do you think in 220-some episodes? Thousands?
Thousands.
I mean, it's at least one or two or a dozen a week.
Listen, we had a conversation, Steve, about doing a loose ends episode.
Yeah.
So,
and that in itself became a loose end because we never got back to it.
Add it to the list, if you would. Steve, before we move on, I need to recap quickly the polls from last week.
Okay.
We did not have many of them, but that's fine. They were important nonetheless.
Yeah.
Let me make sure I have the proper results here. I don't want to mislead the people who trust our polling.
Yeah.
You know, put it right alongside the what are the colleges that have?
Oh,
is it not Johns Hopkins?
No, Montclair, something.
I think that's right.
No, I don't think it is. I appreciate your
No.
Appreciate Steve. Your enthusiasm. Hold on, college. We don't want this to become a loose end. College polls. Not surprisingly, that didn't yield exactly what I wanted.
Well, you looked that up, Steve. Should lakes have tides? 51% of the audience said yes.
Yeah.
Again, this wasn't the question of do they. This question was only should they, because I believe lakes are disrespected by all of the different Pisces, Capricorns, Sagittariuses.
Did you hear that there's a new...
There's a new Zodiac?
A new sign, yeah.
So what is... Hang on.
Everybody got shifted a little bit.
No.
Yeah.
No, okay.
Yeah.
First of all, I don't know why this is coming up.
43 minutes into this episode.
This should have been minute one.
Because I identify myself as a Pisces through and through, Steve.
Oh, wait a minute. NASA elegantly shuts down those new zodiac star theories.
Well, you couldn't shut down the people who shut down Pluto, could you, you bunch of idiots?
The zodiac has changed. What's your new astrological sign? Okay, what were you?
# Pluto is a planet. I was a Pisces, Steve, and I don't care what you're about to tell me. I still am a Pisces.
Follow-up question. When's your birthday?
March 5.
March 5. I knew that. Of course I knew that. Let's see.
Because I don't think I was on the fringe of any sign. I believe I was closer
right
to
the middle
of whatever the other
all
one
right,
next
so
to
March.
It was.
You're an
still
Aquarius.
A Pisces?
Oh, no. You're an Aquarius.
No.
February 16th to March 11th.
No. So what does that mean? I have to like the water now?
Uh-huh. Oh, man, I shifted too. I'm a Taurus. I'm an old crappy car from the 90s.
Wow.
I was a Gemini.
So great. So now I've got to go swim in the ocean, and you're a 96 Taurus. Yeah. Great.
I'm the car that everyone I knew had in high school.
I used to be, a Pisces. It just felt so strong, you know? Aquarius.
So the new sign is Ophiuchus?
Ophiuchus?
O-P-H-I-U-C-H-U-S. Ophiuchus.
And what are those dates?
That's November 29th to December 17th.
Ah, the post-Thanksgivingers.
Yep. The post-Thanksgivingers, pre-Christmasers.
What a terrible birthday area.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's already focused on the holidays.
Nobody cares about you.
Oh, I love you, Katie. I'm sorry, your birthday's stupid.
Remember when I said nobody cares about you? I meant everyone loves you.
Could you spell it for me one more time?
O-P-H-I-U-C-H-U-S.
Yeah. Boy, that's so stupid. Sometimes been used inside real astrology as a 13th astrological sign. It's a constellation situated behind the sun from November 29 to December
18. Oh, real convenient. 18. Hides behind the sun.
Oh, you sound like a real bad, like a real tough guy.
Hey, I'm hiding behind this big flaming ball.
You'd be a real hero. That is, astrological signs do not correspond to constellations. Well, no kidding, because constellations are astrological signs.
Side note, little space talk here. Mm-hmm. I was way too old in life when I realized that the moon didn't light up.
Oh, wow.
Like, that it wasn't its own energy source. It wasn't shining. It was actually just the reflection of the sun.
Let me guess here, Steve, because you've given a pretty vivid description of yourself as 17 today alone. And we have ample evidence to go on your further decision-making and life choices. If you just look at your college life, where you bought a jet ski and were underwear wrestling.
Jet ski, in my
post-college,
defense.
I apologize.
Post-college,
yep,
yes.
Absolutely.
Post-college. By the way, the side gig now is also on board of trying to get me to buy a jet ski.
Oh, wow, I'm real surprised.
I think that they listened, and that sounds like a good idea. That sounds like a good, stupid idea for old dumb Steve.
I wonder where they... I can't wait for next week's episode. You guys just do one a week, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Where they say, Steve, you should get a pool. Call you Pool Steve. It'd be funny.
Hey, Sonny Bono is a good skier, right?
Yeah, I swear to God. If there is a mention on that radio show of Sonny Bono, I'll give it 6 weeks. I'm throwing a Molotov cocktail through that fifth floor window. You guys still on the fifth floor?
Fifth floor, yes.
Fifth floor window. And I'm done with it. Okay? Ridiculous.
I'll pass that along.
Keep stealing our bits. Our good bits, too. That Sonny Bono bit was good. At first, they came for the meatloaf, okay?
Yeah.
Which was just unacceptable. And then they came for the Fast Five. And mm-hmm. Thankfully, your Ophiuchus showed, or your Ophiuchus went into retrograde, and you decided to step forward and say, this is enough. I'm not going to allow you to take the Fast Five.
Yeah.
So
I would just be crossing the line.
But if they come for Sonny Bono,
ugh.
Or Ophiuchus.
By the way, Philip, we need a Sonny Bono themed shirt.
Yeah. Yeah, we need a Sonny Bono shirt. We also need a Frisboer shirt. Philip, we've got a lot of
I think
of work.
That the Sonny Bono shirt has to be first person perspective. So you see like the hands out in front holding the ski poles.
Yeah.
Maybe you see the skis sticking out at mm-hmm. the bottom. You see a tree.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's like the little speech bubble that says, "Shut up, Cher. I'm fine."
And then below it, Sonny Bono, 1935 to 1998.
Yeah. R.I.P. Never forget.
By the way, Philip, I did look. Side note, we need his address, Steve.
We don't have it?
We need to get Philip. Not that I could find. So okay. We'll have to dig it up. And or if you're listening to this, Philip, please send us via Twitter or Facebook your address for us.
Did you check the spreadsheet for the Steve and Kyle podcast?
Philip did not participate in the 2019 Steve and Kyle podcast non-denominational winter solstice gift exchange this past solstice season, Steve. Mm. Boy, that's going to be coming right up, by the way.
Yeah.
We still going to be doing this then?
No.
God, I hope coronavirus will surely knock one of us out by then.
God, I hope so.
Hey, do we have a backup plan for if one of us gets coronavirus? Because we're not doing the Zoom thing again.
But we had just figured out the Zoom thing.
Yeah, still not doing it, though.
Oh, wow. Well, then no. I mean, there's no logical backup. I mean,
we could go back to sunroom / deckcast.
No, because I
so
wouldn't.
You sit out on the like, say it's you that gets coronavirus.
Yeah.
You sit out on the deck. I'll just simply run a microphone cord to you.
Yeah, so I would just never come inside.
Yeah.
I mean, that
I'll
would
never
be,
touch the microphone. It'll be.
Yeah. Outside of the Zoom thing, that would be the only thing that works.
Mm. Yeah.
Better than most. Just deal with that crappy Zoom audio.
It's time for
Kenny Rogers
Fact of the Week.
You've got to know when to hold up. Fact of the Week.
Know when to fold them.
All right, in my attempt to make up for my mistakes of the past, I think I've found a good one.
Okay.
One, I mean, it's not a... It's you may be a little surprised by it, but okay. You're surprised by everything that we say about Kenny Rogers because the man was just he was an anomaly. He is an anomaly.
I don't know if there's a more multi-talented individual out there after hearing about all of these exploits than our friend Kenny Rogers.
The roaster, of course. And as we've said numerous times, we will keep doing the Kenny Rogers Fact of the Week because Kenny Rogers is still alive.
Absolutely.
We have no reason to think that he has passed on. Now, what would you say Kenny Rogers is most known for?
Most people would say his singing,
Steve. His singing career. In particular, specifically, what song?
Oh, The Gambler.
The Gambler. Of course, he's called The Gambler. It's his nickname. His the 1978 release, The Gambler, arguably his most famous song. But despite that song, Kenny Rogers never did much gambling. You believe that?
Wow.
He was never really on a train bound for nowhere with his ruffly shirt.
Yeah, he met
cards.
Up with a gambler.
Yeah, he learned a long
tired to sleep.
Learned a long time ago. I can't win enough money to excite me, but I can lose enough to depress me, he admitted.
That night got deathly quiet.
Those are lyrics right there, by the way, though. I can't win enough money to excite me, but I can lose enough to depress me. I'm surprised that those weren't lyrics.
Yeah, no kidding.
Like on the Gambler follow-up album.
Right. The sequel, The Gambler 2.
The Gambler's anonymous person.
Oh,
he
man.
Admitted, so I don't gamble, but you're right. It's been a career-identifying song for me.
Huh. Now, you don't...
That was the...
Kenny Rogers.
Fact of the Week.
You've got to know when to hold up. Fact of the Week.
Know when to fold them.
Please do not speak over the intro and outro.
I can't imagine... I have a feeling people... celebrities who don't gamble or who say that... I have a feeling some of them would if they weren't celebrities, but I can't imagine them just ponied up at a blackjack table.
Like in Atlantic City.
With everybody else playing $20 blackjack or whatever.
Yeah.
They would just be wrecked. It would end up being, they'd end up being mobbed.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. If I'm sitting at a blackjack table at the Borgata and the roaster sits down next to me,
I'm picking his brain.
Yeah.
I'm asking about the coward of the county.
I'm talking to him about photography, interior design.
That's what you do.
Funny car chat. Yeah, exactly. That's how you catch him off guard, and you don't make him feel like he's overwhelmed by being Kenny Rogers' music's greatest icon.
So you leave his music alone, you pull up a chair, you don't say anything for, give him 90 seconds.
Well, you introduce, hey man, what's your name?
Yeah.
I'm Steve. Kenny? Oh, Kenny Rogers? Okay. Hey, you know my favorite funny car chassis is the Kenny Rogers Classic XL.
Yeah, the Gambler. That the Gambler chassis.
Happened to be you, right? Oh, it is. Oh, yeah. Great geometry on the front end.
I think I saw one of your ballrooms. Did you design that thing in Lexington, Kentucky? If I remember right, that was a Kenny Rogers ballroom.
Boy, I really loved the photography book that you put out back in 1988.
You know,
in fact, I just thought about buying a copy of it on Amazon, but it's $219. You're effing crazy, Kenny Rogers, guy who takes pictures.
You know, I think I saw you, I had a friend play with you in a celebrity pro-am tennis tournament. You were doubles. You're pretty good. Where'd you learn that backhand?
Of course, the other person was the celebrity. You were just the guy.
Yeah, you were the guy. Kenny.
Not even a last name.
No. Today we have...
John McEnroe.
Today we have...
And...
Chuck Woolery playing with... Kenny.
Kenny.
But anyway, man, I think, you know, if I had to pick my favorite food here, fellow gambler, it'd be roasted chicken.
Yeah. Hey, you got a nice voice. Maybe you should try singing one time. See you later.
I'll have a good night. You're the tip for the dealer. Now, you're not...
This casino won't stop rocking back and forth like we're on a train.
Wonder where I'm headed. Probably nowhere.
Probably nowhere.
Later, I'm going to go run away from that fist fight. Some might call me a coward.
Why can't these things happen?
I got a softball tournament this weekend. Sure hope I don't strike out. My name's Casey, by the way.
So do you like goats?
Oh, man. When the day comes that I run into Kenny Rogers at a casino, I am going to be so filled with knowledge. Him and I are going to become best buds.
Yeah. Yep. He'll probably invite you over.
I cannot wait. I cannot wait. Steve, going to put you on the spot here.
Yeah.
What do you want to do? We had briefly talked about before the episode recording of maybe switching things up a little bit today. Do you want to do
that? Let's do it. We're not doing two episodes this week.
That's right, folks. You heard it here, at least this week, maybe for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, we're just sampling things, trying things a different way.
Listen, there's nothing to be said that Steve and I are not innovators, okay?
All right, you want
to
go first here?
Yeah, let me go first. Let me pull up the picture because my computer died. Major League Baseball opening day, this past week's Thursday, Steve, two games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nice to see some normalcy, I guess, even though it's really weird to watch. Odd to watch it and to hear highlights from it.
Yeah, all the rules, no spitting, no high fives, no gum chewing.
That's going to be tough. That's going to be tough.
There's rules on baseballs now that I didn't read the specifics, but Major League Baseball has already anticipated in a 60-game season going through more baseballs than they would in a 162-game season.
Well, yeah, and they said that... So basically each game counts as like 2.7 games,
right?
Like weighted,
yeah.
Which is, that's insane. But yeah, that whole no high five thing, that's gonna go out the window real quick. The first like walk off home run or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And then do they get fined if they do high five?
I don't know. I don't know. Listen, this whole thing, baseball didn't happen so fast. Football is happening so fast.
Well, football's happening with no real, like, they haven't really said much of anything.
Football has dropped the ball, and I've said this in private conversations. They, of all the leagues that have had the most time to do anything, football had 6 months before their regular season was supposed to start.
Yeah.
And now we're here the week before their players are supposed to be in training camp. And they still don't even have a deal on health protocols.
Well, you would have thought that they were on top of it, too, because they had their draft a couple of months ago, and they did the draft virtually and everything. So it seemed like, oh, okay, they're headed in the right direction. Not really the case.
Nope. Next up, Kanye West.
Oh, boy. What aspect would you like to talk about? His presidential run? His kind of breakdown, it seems as though he's in the middle of.
So this is a weird spot, but we'll talk about that on the turnaround. Next up, Mike Tyson. Are you excited?
I am. I'll watch that fight.
Yeah, so we're having a night?
Yeah, definitely.
All right, it'll be pay-per-view, I'm sure.
He's 53. He's going to be fighting...
Roy Jones Jr.
Roy Jones Jr. He's
51 years old.
And Roy Jones Jr. fought 2 years ago?
Roy Jones Jr., by all intents and purposes, should pick apart Mike Tyson.
Okay.
Because he's... Granted, they're both over 50, so age isn't really a factor.
Right.
But in terms of being in the ring and ring shape, Roy Jones Jr. is very fresh.
Okay.
Retired in, like you said, in his late 40s, stopped fighting. So
was he still fighting on a regular basis?
I wouldn't say regular. It was one of those real careers that petered out, so he was doing fights for big money that nobody wanted to see, but they were in, like, Australia. And against, like, an Australian boxer who could sell out an arena there until he finally, I believe, officially, technically hung them up a couple of years ago. But the only thing that might cause some concern, Roy Jones Jr., not a legitimate heavyweight fighter. I don't know where this fight is being fought at weight-wise. Mm-hmm. Mike Tyson should be the bigger fighter. Mike Tyson fought at heavyweight for most of his career. So
can't wait. I'm definitely watching it. So it's in September.
Mid-50-year-olds in September exhibition bout, which no headgear, but heavier gloves, which should slow down the pace, I believe. It's not going to be able to be as fast.
All right, makes sense.
Next up, Supermarket Sweep.
Oh, is it?
Have you been? Listen, the internet's in a fervor over it, Steve.
I loved that show when I was a kid. Is it coming back?
No, they posted. Netflix has uploaded all the seasons of the original run of Supermarket Sweep. So you see, I forget what that host's name is, but yeah.
No idea.
Go find the mayonnaise, and you'd get back then you'd get back with a certain amount of time left on your clock. He would give you $40 for this. So it'd be back and forth.
All right, I'm in. I'm watching it. No, I'm not. Never going to even consider it again.
You're not going to. No. You just said you loved it when you were a kid. You're right. You're not curious on turning back the dial?
I also loved peanut butter and fluffer nutter when I was a kid.
I also loved eating sand. So I guess.
Yeah, exactly. I ate paste at one point in my life.
And that, folks, is Supermarket Sweep. Lastly, Steve, Taylor Swift.
T-Swift dropping a new album, trying to outdo Kanye. Because he has a new album coming.
Studio album dropped randomly last. It's so weird because music releases, they used to have to be scheduled, right?
Yeah.
Because physical CDs would be shipped to the stores.
Yeah.
And they would be, depending on whoever it was, there'd be lines at midnight or whatever for these albums. And nowadays it's...
This is so much. So much more convenient
now. I'll pre-download it on my phone for the next morning.
Yeah. So when I'm driving to work the next morning, I have the new album. Yeah, I got a notification from Amazon Music saying we think you might like the new Taylor Swift album. I'm like, yeah. Really? Why?
What shows you that history?
So, yeah, I have not listened though.
I have not either. I am not anti-Taylor Swift.
You're not a Swiftie though.
No. There's some of her music I don't mind, but I don't seek out her albums and I don't look at her music as this iconic song of my life like a lot of groups do. I'm not blaspheming anybody who does, because if anybody wants to come at the boss, then we're going to have an argument. So I cannot throw stones from this much higher, much more important glass house.
You think the boss ever did a collab with Kenny Rogers? To look that up right now and violate copyright laws if he did.
Oh, yeah, because that's the new theme song. So every week we're going to be getting a cease and desist.
Yeah, or because I bet that now Bruce is pretty well known for his tribute covers. Like I remember seeing he did right after Prince died, I think he did Purple Rain and it went viral.
Well, listen, we don't have the time to get into this today, but I'm just reading a headline. The time Lee Iacocca paid Kenny Rogers to make a fake Bruce Springsteen song.
What?
So, if you
Lee
ever...
Lee Iacocca of, General Motors fame.
Yep. If you ever needed a reason to tune in, that's the A bit.
That's it right there.
One week from today.
It probably happened 40 years ago. And you could Google it.
Don't. You'll hear about it here next week.
Before that, Steve, supermarket sweep. You already said you're comparing it to eating paste and licking sand.
Yeah, great at the time, but probably not so great. I feel like I've outgrown it.
I feel like old game shows, though, have this weird nostalgia factor that people are fascinated with.
Whether it's a comfort
thing.
Whether
it's the old dating game, the old match game, the old Hollywood squares where you've got celebrities smoking in their square on the up on the dais. So, yeah, all on Netflix, and it's become very, very popular on there. For the Mike Tyson-Roy Jones Jr. fight, we're in.
We're in.
We're in. We're watching it.
A 53-year-old man and a 51-year-old man.
A degenerate might have some bets on that.
I'll put money on that. Can you get me in touch with someone who can put money on it?
I'll have to call my friend.
Okay.
He's in a different time zone. And, you know, I think he MoneyGrams.
Is that still a thing?
I think so. I still see it on a lot of the crappy liquor store doors. Like MoneyGrams and Western Union.
Oh, Western Union. Have you ever done have you ever sent money Western Union?
Yeah, had to. Back in the early days of eBay, I was buying something, and that was like the only way that I could do payment. Yeah. Well, one, I believe I was too young to have PayPal at that point.
Yeah.
Think about it now. There's no security there. I could send them that Western Union, and I never get what I'm buying.
Yeah, who knows? May show up, may not.
Teenage kind of like, yeah, I'm sure those taillights for my Cavalier will be here in a week. That'll get me a girlfriend.
That's right. You discussed at great length, maybe a month or two ago, your sweet ride.
Yeah, the 99 Cavalier with the bra on the front, the Euro taillights on the back.
And the bra was to just cover up the rust?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I wasn't fixing it. You crazy? Before that, Kanye West. For my money, this is eerily reminiscent of the Charlie Sheen issue. And if I remember, the Charlie Sheen issue was a bit of a laughing stock. And if you ever need a sign of how the times have turned, even since then, which was 10 or 12 years ago, it's now taken a turn of, hey, we shouldn't be laughing at this guy in the middle of an episode. But nobody's helping him, Steve.
I think what made it different now is that Kim Kardashian, his wife, released a statement basically saying, you know, Kanye is obviously going through some things, but he's an adult, so you can't force an adult to get help if they don't want to get help. And that's sad. It's really sad. I think that deep down, I think Kanye is still kind of a jerk. He seems like a jerk. And a lot of accounts of people that have dealt with him make it seem as though he's a jerk. But I also wonder, okay, so how much of that is because of if he's bipolar or what?
Here's the thing. The man's an egomaniac, and you would hope there... I'm not going to say that. I don't know if he's self-aware enough to know that, but he's written on social media, like, I am a genius.
Yeah.
Like, he thinks very highly of himself.
I think a lot
I'm not saying that this isn't a bipolar episode, Steve. I don't know that this is that far out of the realm of Kanye West. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's weird because he definitely has, you know, massive sways from one way to the other.
Yeah.
Did you ever watch the David Letterman show?
My
next guest needs no introduction.
Yeah.
He had Kanye on, and it's an hour-long interview, and I really enjoyed it. I was like, man, this guy genuinely seems like a guy who just does things his own way. A lot of people don't get it. A lot of people don't understand it. But I came away from watching that with a new perspective on him, thinking like, okay, I can. So a lot of what he does is definitely showbiz. It's for show. But then, I don't know, then stuff like this happens. And
yeah, I mean, and again, if he's going through an episode, I understand that. But it's been a long-term thing.
Yeah.
Like,
but I mean, again,
just be a lot of his personality.
Sure.
But that David Letterman, he's on a downswing of whatever.
Right. You never know, like, okay, what's the real and what's the showbiz?
Right.
Like, is it blurring the lines somewhere
in
between?
It's Andy Kaufman. Andy Kaufman is what it is. But the problem is the difference here is there's no Kanye West has no payoff if this is a bit of a bit. Right? Because Andy Kaufman is always angling. He was angling with Jerry Lawler because he wanted TV viewers on the late night show he was on or on the wrestling program he was on.
You never know if Kanye West has an album or not.
Yeah.
The last one
and
was
he does. Supposedly he has one that's coming out.
But he just released one last year, but it was the gospel album. Yeah. Everyone's like, oh, all right. So,
I don't know.
A very weird situation.
Yeah, definitely strange.
MLB opening day.
Opening day, of course, is what we're talking about on the last of your Fast
that
Five.
Stinking computer.
How
sometimes
about that opening day?
Fast Five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
First on my list, Kanye West.
Oh, wow. Look yeah, talked about it at length.
Presidential run specifically. I had made this note earlier in the week when he, you know, announced he was running for president.
I mean, he's not going to be on any ballot, but still, there's going to end up, you're going to read the headline the week after, which is, you know, 80,000 people. And it's always the people writing the headline will always find the one county or the one state. And it'll be Kanye West got 85,000 votes in Virginia. And the Virginia presidential electorate was decided by 60,000 votes. Mm-hmm. Did Kanye West lose the election for so-and-so? Right. That will happen this fall when after the election, even if this thing, which it will, peter out.
Up next, Mike Tyson, already discussed at length.
I'm excited. He looked good in those videos, but he's also hitting a padded trainer who's not intended to move.
Sure, he looks amazing in those videos.
Yeah.
But you got to wonder, okay, if this thing goes like 9 rounds.
Well, 8-round exhibition.
Oh, okay.
8-round exhibition. Okay. But still, we're talking about a couple guys in their 50s. They're going to be gassed. From everything that I've read, boxing is one of the most strenuous things cardio-wise that you could possibly do.
So what is that? If it's just an exhibition,
not sanctioned, I don't believe.
Are there rules in place? Like you don't hit them above the neck or it's,
I don't think so.
It's
a full on boxing match, but I believe by calling it an exhibition, I could be very wrong. I want to preface this. They don't have to go through the licensing for Nevada or wherever this thing's going to be.
All right. Up next, stimulus package. Another one might be on the way, right?
Yeah, and it's already been more politicized than ever. I'm not holding my breath for anything.
And I mean, obviously, you don't need it because you've talked at great length about how you have cashed in on this coronavirus.
Made so much money during this pandemic, it was stupid. Okay.
Refinanced the house.
Sorry for everybody.
Got a new car.
You know, sick, dying, etc.
Bought a bunch of gold bars just to have.
Stored them in my new safe. Unbelievable. Yeah.
Because you'd be in store for another $2,900.
Well, who knows? I mean, they keep going back and forth on how much they want to cap the income at, saying people who make less than this amount, only people who make less than this amount will get it. And
well, what about if people who make more than that amount are also out of work?
Sorry.
I mean, what you make is kind of irrelevant if you're not working.
Yeah, and none of that matters to the people deciding this. That's important to recognize. Right now, the only thing that matters is how whatever they pass plays for the election this November. So the only reason there may be a direct check to us, to people, is because each party thinks it's going to benefit them voting at the ballot box this November.
Up next, masks. Masks and how they're very... Some people are saying they're the most patriotic thing you can do.
It's hard to argue now. A lot of people have been saying that for a long, long, long time.
It's weird how some stories have changed and some have changed their tune a bit.
Somebody got in the ear, obviously, or maybe some of the political advisors, because this has somehow become a political issue. I think political advisors maybe got in the ear of the president to say, hey, this is a losing issue for you.
Yeah.
And to him, that is all that matters. If this ended up being, if his political advisors came to him and said, this is a 50-50 issue, he would not be wearing a mask today.
Yeah.
But if somebody comes to him and says, this is a losing issue for you, he will put on a mask. And sure enough, he did. He is in public as having told Jerry Jones, the kneeling during the national anthem, said it is a winning issue for me, and that's why he harps on it endlessly.
Mm-hmm.
Endlessly. And so, yeah, it's still a political decision that he made, which is still comical.
And finally, Dr. Fauci's first pitch. Did you see that?
Right up there with 50 Cent, right?
Yeah.
50 Cent, Cincinnati Reds, I believe he threw one out, and it was just atrocious.
I think it was the Mets.
Was it? Okay, yeah, you're probably right. New York makes more sense than Cincinnati for 50 Cent. I'm trying to remember who would round out a hypothetical top three of bad first
pitches. Oh, Baba Booey.
Baba Booey's right there.
Baba Booey's was awful. His like ended up in the in like left field somehow or something.
Oh man. Like the you're right. But yeah, I'm willing to give the 70 plus year old doctor a pass here on this one because not exact. But I mean, ask for 90 seconds with someone before the game, right? When there's no kid to just try. Right.
Isn't it funny how some people like, I feel like even if I had never held a baseball before, never watched a baseball game in my life or seen anyone throw a ball, I still feel like I could get it within like a couple feet.
Of, a lot of people say the raised mound throws you off because if you're not used to a raised pitching mound, that is what will.
Right. But you would think that that would solely affect the height.
It should.
Like maybe you just throw it a little too high or you throw it a little too low.
But the
the raised mound shouldn't affect
left and right
the way that the direction the ball goes left and right.
Yeah. Jimmy Pardo on his podcast, Never Not Funny, has talked about it at length when he threw out the first pitch at the White Sox game years ago. He said right before he went out, somebody had said, just you're playing catch with your dad. Think of it that way.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have no problem. And sure enough. That's all it takes. You're just playing catch.
Yeah.
Like you don't need to rocket a 70 mile an hour bullet into the mitt. You're not there to
throw
make the team.
A big breaking ball.
Lob one in. Get it so the catcher doesn't have to jog 30 feet to go catch your roller, and just make it look normal. You've done that at a minor league game, right? How'd it turn out?
Great.
Yeah. Piped one in there.
No problem at all. It was.
People get so nervous about it, though, too. But
I was extremely nervous about it.
You don't
want
to look the fool.
Right. But then again, in my line of work, it would have worked fine if I had thrown the thing into the outfield.
Right.
And,
but you know, relatively close to that, there was a 100-year-old woman who fell off the mound.
Oh, Sophie fell.
Fell off the mound. Very same ballpark that you threw that first pitch at.
She did.
So,
yeah, Sophie.
So, 100-year-old falling, and then, you know, early 30s Steve taking a dive off the mound. Burton, you know me. I'll never set foot on a mound again.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
A million years.
I mean, you had a tough outing last time.
You pay me to throw out a first pitch. I'm not doing it. I'll throw it from the outfield. I'll lob one in and throw my shoulder out. I'll pitch it in from center field.
All right, number four was patriotic masks. That's the most patriotic thing you can do, some are saying. I mean,
everybody agrees. If you want to be a patriot, true American, you do two things. You don't let your knee touch the ground if somewhere in the world the anthem is playing.
Yeah.
And you wear a mask.
Yeah. That advice, especially useful 4 months ago. Thank you, Mr. President.
Let's listen to this last March.
Okay, the stimulus package. You got your money spent yet? You know what you're buying?
Got a down payment on a new house.
Yeah. I mean, they say go out and buy cars and houses.
I'm like...
with your $1,200 or your $2,400 or $2,900 or whatever.
I'm Clark Griswold in Christmas Vacation.
Oh, where... you're taking a whole family to Hawaii?
No. I got the in-ground pool. I already put the down payment on it.
Well, he was taking the whole family to Hawaii, and with anything left over, he was putting in an in-ground pool.
Nope. Steve, you have it backwards.
Do I?
He's putting in the in-ground pool, and with anything left over, he's going to fly the whole family down to christen the new pool. I think you're mixing up. Maybe vacation?
Maybe. I could have sworn there was Hawaii.
But no, Christmas Vacation, okay. No Hawaii. He's putting in the in-ground pool, but he'd already put the down payment in. He needed the bonus check because the bank account was drained.
But he got the jelly of the month club.
That's me with my new house. So come on through, Congress. Send me that $2,000. I'm buying a house.
And Mike Tyson before that.
I'm there, man. I'm a sucker for novelty fights.
I can't wait to watch it. And before that was Kanye West. I already talked about that at great length.
Yeah.
Mr. Kanye, definitely, he should... there's no shame in getting help. No shame at all.
Oh, but hey, by all means, keep releasing statements on social media. Their wife and mother of his children.
Yeah, I'm sure she's loving that. Man, that's weird. I never thought that I'd feel bad for Kim Kardashian in really any sense. But look at that, I do. Podcastawards.com.
Vote for us.
Yeah, vote for us in the comedy category. There's pop culture leftovers in the TV and film category. There are partner podcasts that we've teamed up with. And then vote for us as well in the
People's Choice category.
Yeah. We just need to be top 10 so we can so we can record an acceptance speech video in case we happen to win.
We did a disservice to our listening audience here today, Steve. So next week, you and I, we have to take a trip down memory lane, podcast history. You and I briefly talked about this week. An important anniversary came up we forgot to talk about today. We'll get to that next week as well.
Can't wait. Facebook and Twitter at Steve and Kyle. You can vote in this week's polls. Also on Instagram at Steve and Kyle. And we will talk to you next week.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.